base, Perek Yudalad, in the Haggah, and I spent the shiur last Thursday explaining Chana, because Chana seems to be the source of all tefillah as we know it. And I explained that. I don't want to go over it, but I do want to go further with it. But first, let's learn a little bit of Nefesh HaChaim in the Haggah. You have it there? Haggah of Perek Yudalad. Into the second Haggah. K'ma shekosev Rabbeinu Yoina Zal b'Perek Ein Oimdin. There's a Rabbeinu Yoina in Perek Ein Oimdin, which is in Brachos. B'inyan ha-mispalol tzarech she'itan einav l'mata v'libo l'malo. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. It says that when you daven, you should daven with einav l'mata v'libo l'malo. It's a bit of a move, you know. Einav l'mata, your eyes downward and your heart upwards. It says Rabbi Yonazel, l'shoyne ha-kodesh sham. K'loimar. What it means is, she'ach she'b'liboy, Kilo Oimed B'Shamayim. Okay, the lave is the seat of Machshava. Not just emotion, but the seat of Machshava. The Einayim are the reality of the world that we live in. Seeing is believing. Right? What you see is, that's what I see. That's scientific, if you will. What you see. If somebody explains something to you, you can say, I see. You can say, if you're yeshivish, you can say, I hear. I hear what you're saying. I feel what you're saying, or I understand what you're saying. That's a lev lahavin. Simply beinu lahavin lahaskil ishmael loma. Simply beinu lahavin. So now we have a sort of a pose where tzarech she'itein einav lemata v'libo lemala. So your eyes are downward and your heart is upwards. So says Rabbi Yona Kolaymer Shiyachshe B'Libai. When it comes to your machshava, Kilo I made Bashamayim. I'm davening. I'm standing in Shamayim. V'Yaser Milibai Kol Tanugei Ha'Olam Hazeh. How do you stand in Shamayim? You stand in Shamayim by forgetting about yourself. Which, as I keep on pointing out, or he keeps on pointing out, is the opposite of the way many of us were trained to daven, which is not so correct, which is davening for ourselves, begging Hashem, take away my pains, take away my aches, give me parnasa, etc. There's a place for that also, that bakasha, but the, not necessarily the amida of Shemona Esrei. Over here, on the contrary, yasir mi liboy kol tanugei olam hazeh v'chol hanaz haguf. Kishemosha Amra Kadmoinim, Kishetirza Lechavein, is all from Rabbeinu Yoina, Kishetirza Lechavein, if you want to have Kavona, Pshoit Gufcha Me'al Nishmosecha. Pshoit Gufcha, undress and remove, like Shlomo HaMelech said, Pshoit. Take off that Ksoines, the outer layer, put it on the side for the few minutes of Shemona Esrei, and now I'm standing in Shemayim without my, I'm undressing my neshama and standing before Hashem. Pshayt gufcha me'al nishmasecha. I want to tell you, one of the modern trends is mindfulness. So mindfulness is good, you know. So mindfulness, you know, do you feel the chair that you're sitting on right now? You feel the chair you're sitting on? Do you feel your feet? Like just to be in touch with every single thing that I'm feeling. I tried it. It becomes very awkward in a conversation. very uncomfortable once I start feeling everything. But that's what mindfulness, but it's not the avodah of tefillah in any case. As good as bad, it's not my business. But the avodah of tefillah is mindlessness in the sense of I'm not feeling all of the gashmius things around me. I'm not feeling my aches and pains. I'm not feeling all the tanugim. I'm hungry. Am I hungry? I'm hungry. You know, I'm not. Am I feeling a little bit insulted now? You know, I'm not. That might be good. You know, but it's not good for tefillah because when you're in tefillah, it's pshayt. Just get rid of the whole thing. Get rid of the only thing. Says the Rabbeinu Yoina. And once you get to this machshava, once you get to the place where you're standing in Shemayim, yachshev gam kein ki'ilu hu oimed beveis hamikdash, now there's a machshava that I'm standing in the Beis HaMikdash. Shehu lemata. So that's what you're doing with your eyes. You're not literally doing with your eyes, but in other words, the eyes represent that which is lemata. Mimnei sha'al yedeze tia tfilasei ritsuya yoyser lifnei hamakim. And this way, your tefillah will be ritsuya, miskabel, l'ratzim, in front of Hashem. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says this, mipi moiri harav. I heard this from my Rebbe.
What's Neru?
Nishmasai ruunan ve buunagar. Nothing to do with Neru. Yeah, like that's how. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says.
So what is the purpose of having Hamachshava being in the Beis HaMikdash?
So the Beis HaMikdash, so let's just learn Pashat Upshat, that the Beis HaMikdash represents the fact that the Shekhinah comes Lamata. That's what the Beis HaMikdash represents. So we have Lamala Lamata. Have what's going on in Shemayim, you have what's going on in Aretz. The ultimate Aretz, the best you can do with a piece of land, is the Beis HaMikdash. That's the best thing you can do. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash, you can make a shul, that's good. You can make your home, you can light candles in your home, you can do all kinds of things which are very nice, give tzedakah, but the ultimate tachlis of Olam Hazeh is to make a Beis HaMikdash in Olam Hazeh. Why? Because then you're Bechaber Shemayim V'Aretz. That's the Chibur. That's the Makom of Chibur, the Beis HaMikdash. It was, you're bringing a carbon here, it's Reach Nechayach Hashem. So, Liboy Lamala, Ve'enav Lamata, meaning that in my lave, which is the upper part of my mind, so I'm in Shamayim. In my mind's eye, if I can take poetic license here, in my mind's eye, I'm Lamata, I'm envisioning that I'm not, what am I envisioning Lamala? There's nothing to envision. I mean, we have no idea what it looks like Lamala. So, but in my mind's eye, what am I seeing? I'm seeing the Beis HaMikdash. So what I'm doing here is very, very important. As I keep on saying, which is the right way to look at this, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, the world that we're sitting in right now, as an extension of the Shemayim. He created us as an extension of the Malachim. And there's no difference between us and Malachim. Malachim have their jobs and we have our jobs. We're more sophisticated in our relationship, in our job description. Although we're lower, it's like, it's like a computer tree. Although we're lower, we're on a higher level, on a higher job description level. And this is evidenced by the fact that we have Bechira Chafshis. Malachim don't have Bechira Chafshis, but the thing is that it's all an extension from the Shemayim to the Aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring, to put it in simple words, Hashem wanted to bring his Shemayim to a very practical place. A place where you could do chesed, a place where you could do tzedakah. He wanted to be on a very practical level. Practical. Practical is not Shemayim. It's just, in this sense, Kivyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited because it can't be very practical in the Shemayim. So the Hashem, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, who's he losing his temper at? The Malachim are doing exactly what he's saying to do. So the answer is, he create Basar V'dam, somebody get angry at. here we are, we're having Bechir Chafshis, but what we're doing, our Shlichus and our Malachius, is not just to do mitzvos or to do the Ratzon Hashem, is the tikkun olam of making this extension of the Shemayim like the Shemayim, where everything is Kvod Hashem. And that becomes a place of practical happiness, practical peace, practical well-being. That's the tachlis of making, of completing the circle. And you have the lamala and you have the lamata, but really it's one big circle. That's what it is. And we've learned this over and over and over again, that when a person's mispalo, they're continuing the circle. We're doing our part, going up to the Shemayim, Shemayim coming to the Aretz, like, as I always say, like the rain cycle. The rain cycle comes down, and the idea is not to pollute the rain, because then you get acid rain. What goes up comes down, and you get messed up. So this is his, the Rabbeinu Yonah's Chiddush, and Einav Lamata V'Liboy Lamala. Just before I go further, because I want to, it's very important to go further what he does with this, but I just want to show you another stumble, a humble stumble.
So the most you can do in terms of bringing the Kavod Hashem.
Beis HaMikdash. Shechina. But I was looking at Rav Gad's Sefer, or HaMeir, which is a fascinating Sefer. But did you learn it? Okay, yeah, me too. We talked about him before. He's Revolt Zutomir. He was he has a Haskama from the Bardichever. So gives you an idea. But just as looking Shmais, this week's Parsha, Elo Shmais, I just want to share this with you. Just a couple of lines here. Elo Shmais b'nei Yisrael abayim mitraimos Yaakov Ishu Beisu Bo, like we read yesterday. And he asks what everybody asks, that we already just said all these names in Parshas Vayechi, that Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, him and his children. So he says, the pshat is ki haklal biyadenu. We have a klal. Asher anu b'nei Yisrael. We're Jews. B'kishrein pulasenu v'hechsher ma'asenu atoivim lasis pratei ha'ovdais hakol b'hiskashrus ha'chochma v'amado. The brilliance of the human element, the human touch, is that we can do all of the shamayim things here lamata on a very practical level. That's what our koach is particular. He says B'nai Yisrael because, I just want to point out, not because, I mean, B'nai Yisrael wasn't created B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael became B'nai Yisrael because of the choices that we've made. Avraham Avinu made Yitzchak, made Yaakov. That's our, but I mean, the world in general, but he's talking about B'nai Yisrael. We chose to do this job. This, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us do it. Anu B'nai Yisrael, HaKlal B'yadeinu Asher, Anu B'nai Yisrael, B'kishrein Pulaseinu, V'hechshir Ma'aseinu HaToivim, with the things that we do, L'aseis Pratei Ha'uvdois HaKol, B'hiskashrus HaChochma V'hamada, we can take the highest Chochma, we can fit it into science. We can fit it into Chochma. Or we can use Chochma, we can use science to do those Shamayim things. As I nasim v'nitzdarfim shemois v'kinuyim kedoshim. And that's called the hitzdarfus between Shamayim and Oretz. You understand that there was a Parshas Vayechi list and there was a Parshas Shemois list. Two different lists. Mamash, holy raid. And that's the, he says, and therefore we have, he goes on to say, that we have a particular talent, Jews, because they've chosen to be mechaber, the Shemayim Va'aretz, we have a particular talent, unusual talent, when it comes to Aretz. You know, we can invent things, we can discover things, we're the great scientists, we can, Jews. Everybody hates us, but the truth is they wouldn't be there without us, right? Everyone get that? That Hashem gave us the koach of tefillah. And with our tefillah, zakah man dematzle, one who davens, has the koach even with words to make changes from this world into the Shemayim. Meaning, if we understand that the whole tachlis of living, of life, of the creation of the world, is to be mechaber, what we're doing with the Shemayim, that we're an extension of this Shemayim, and it's really all one big thing, just on different levels, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. So then what we're doing here, first of all, he says we're particularly talented in doing things here. You know, people wonder, why are we so good at this or so good at that? The answer is, well, that's our job. Of course we're good at it. We have this born talent, but it you can stop it, you can short circuit it by just doing it to be here, to remain here. But you know, I'm a great engineer, so I built a building. But the whole thing has to be Laman Hashem. Well, L'chaira, he says here, Tzarech Havana, Oifen Aksuvim Amam Yuvin Al Derech HaKosav Aboyne B'Shamayim Ma'aloysa V'Agudase Al Eretz Yisoda. Great pasuk, right? Haboyne B'Shamayim Ma'aloysa V'Agudase, and its attachments, accessories, are Al Eretz. Oretz, I think you said. Kihem einenu, kihine einenu rois. We see it with our own eyes. So he says the Aramaic. Kisha Adam is ayur b'tayro b'tzvila azay oisit snua in prata hevar. Listen to this, because you asked, somebody asked on Thursday, like, what's up with the shuckling? Right? And somebody asked, did you ask? Like, what's that all about, the shuckling? Mostly it's a habit, right? So this fellow was telling me that he was in Kolo for many years. He happened to be a very talented graphic artist, but he went for a job in this big company, and he went for a job interview in the company, and he showed his portfolio, and he was speaking to the president of the company, and the guy said, "Look, your work is fantastic. I like you very much. I'm going to hire you, but what's up with the swaying back and forth? Like, you know, why are you doing this while you're talking to me?" Like, you just didn't understand, yeah. There's a soid in it also. It's not stam. Kine nenu rois kisha adam misayur b'tayra b'tfila. Whenever a person gets excited about tayra or tfila, he says, misayur b'tayra b'tfila. Azai, at that point, oisit snua. He moves. In prata evar, with certain limbs. This is what Rava says, right? We're always moving. Jews talk with their hands, yeah? So, always moving.
Today it's called multi-sensory engagement.
Is that what they call it? When you're using everything.
There's static, there's kinetic learning, there's olfactory learning, there's all different modalities of learning.
But when you're learning with?
So that they do with kids, you say a word and you throw a ball, and they catch the ball,
got it.
And they learn better.
Yeah. The association. So he's saying, he's explaining this. This is back a couple hundred years. As I always said, snua in prate evar unane yadav raglav, umaka kaf al kaf. Start to clap, right? We see Hasidic Rebbe is clapping. Ulefamim meirim etzbaisav lamala. Ulefamim oigid hey etzbaisav el toich hakaf. There's all kinds of things he notices that people do, and they get excited about learning or davening. You know, if you watch people davening correctly, doing it. V'zois hamach shava hinei. He says, you should know this. Ein l'cha shum tenua ba'olam b'li machshava. There's no such thing as doing a movement of any sort without some kind of a thought. Right? That's the way we were. You don't just move. I mean, maybe if you're sick, but normally, like, a person doesn't move unless there's some machshava. It doesn't mean that I thought about I'm going to clap my hands right now, but, you know, like a gesture has a machshava behind it. V'zois ha-machshava. So here, look what we have. We have machshava, dibur, maisa. What you're really doing when you're moving is you're being mekasher. You're starting to climb up olamos, and you're going from your maisa to your dibur to your machshava. And that's, hence, you know, we talked about Rabbi Akiva. So when he daven in Shmoneh Esrei, he'd start off in one room, and then they find him in another room. The Gemara says it's only because he did so many kriyos v'yishtachavos. I also do kriyos v'yishtachavos. I don't end up in another room. But it was taking over his whole body. So that because his machshava was so strong, zoysa machshava mispashtois or mispashetas probably el malei kaimasei. The machshava goes all the way through his koima, va'avitznua, until he's making a move. Ha'kol laharis achdusa yisbarach, and this is all the achdus Hashem. Why is it the achdus Hashem? Because that movement is taking the highest place and bringing it to the lowest place. My very movement. I'm throwing a ball, as you say.
Does he mean the spheres when he says it's
koima? Yeah, probably. The leisasar panui minei, meaning it's the shamayim. See, in general, we need to understand mitzvos. You know, it can be spiritual in my heart, because the mitzvos, in general, are taking the very, very highest place, and they're bringing it down to a practical level. But he's taking this now a step further, and the step further is that not just mitzvos, like I'm giving tzedakah, I'm putting on tefillin, not just mitzvos, but every move that I make, if I'm doing it with the machshava of tefillah, like the Nefesh HaChaim says, right, liboy lamala. So now my liboy lamala is manifesting itself in the ein of lamata, in the most lamata that it could possibly be. So I'm jumping up and down, I'm clapping my hands, I'm not suggesting anybody does this unless it's real. because it makes a big tumult. But it's just interesting. Lesa sarpa. But sometimes you know, there's just a tznua, and the tznua, a movement, is a holy movement. It's a holy movement, he says. Lahayres nasam belibam lahayres inyan ba'gudas hashpehayetzvayis. Something is telling us about our five fingers to put them all into one place. And you know, we learned there's so many halachas that you're supposed to daven like this. You're not allowed to daven like that. The Christians daven like this, so we don't daven like that. There's machlekes in the Arabs between the two bigs, whether you're supposed to put your hands up when you pray or you're not supposed to, put your hands down. We used to put our hands up. Now we don't put our hands up because the billion do. But he goes on to say, I don't want to go through everything because it take up too much time. It's just beautiful, beautiful, right? Where did Shlomo HaMelech have the chachma to build the Beis HaMikdash? The chachma of the Beis HaMikdash was a chachma shemala. He was exercising with his taking his mind and putting it l'maisa. This is the most beautiful thing. Don't keep it here. That's a first up the cup, right? You know, I keep it here. You want it to keep on traveling all the way to Kadosh, 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 where you're getting up on your toes. Kadosh, 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 like that. Kolat. And this is, he says, Kolat Smaisei Tamarna. This is the pshat in Kolat Smaisei Tamarna. Ukadoy me yeser atnois. We do with our hands all kinds of things, all kinds of movements. Hamaskil oise beemsa atvila. Haklal baze bisarusa delusato. The answer is that this is Isarusa Dulsata. Isarusa Dulsata means our part of the circle. Itayar Leila, and that wakes up the Shemaim. Kamoishu Hu, and here's the answer. Kamoishu Minaneas Atzmai. Just like when a person chuckles. When you chuckle, Gufai, Vyadav, Raguav, Vetzbaisav. Isa Rishimais by Lomais El Yainim. You make a roshim in the oylam yisal yoyna b'pchinas achizasam b'koyma el yoyna. Wow. Ata techsa asher aseichom noisen kvi hisnanea im tnuais prote evar of hanasim b'tselam alikim nichtavim v'nirshamim b'bakim remimasam. Shemus kedush. Why is this so important for us? As I say, it's just a stumble. I just stumbled upon it. But I'm going back and forth as I'm talking, whether I should give you back the safer. Okay. but the what is it? Like this was given to you as a gift in, who knows what year it was. 1970. when you got married. Okay. And you didn't think it was going to become internationally broadcast. Yeah. So the thing is like this, that what we're learning, the segue between Perek Yudalit and Perek Tes of Chana. So what Chana, what was the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Chana, as we said, was the mother of all modern prophecy, modern compared to Moshe. The reason why Chana's tefillah was so important is not because she didn't move her lips. That's not the point. The reason why her tefillah was so important, I explained on Thursday, is because Chana was the mother of Shmuel, and Shmuel was the hashlama or the beginning of all Nevi'im, which were the hashlama of bringing the Shekhinah from a makam gavoa to a makam to lamata. Shmuel was closed the circle, and all of a sudden people could talk to a Navi. You know, at Har Sinai. Hashem started talking to us, and everybody said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Stop talking to us. We feel like we're getting a stroke, a heart attack. Like, don't talk to us." And Hashem agreed with it. Moshe Rabbeinu reported, and Sefer Dvarim, he reported, "Hey, Tivu Asher Tiberu, listen to them. I can't talk to them. They're not holding them." But so what Chana did for the world is she brought the Shekhinah one less. Hence, the Gemara says, "Let's learn from Chana." All the Hilchos Tefillah. So the Gemara says, Kama Hilchos HaGevirta, Amar Rav Amnuna, Kama Hilchos HaGevirta. The Gemara says, we learn from Chana, you're not, how all the different halachos, almost all of Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Tefillah is based on Chana. But understand this, the difference between Shmuel and Moshe Rabbeinu, the difference between Chana and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, in order for him to get his nevuah, was Lechem Lo Yachalti, Mayim Lo Shosisi, Kol Ayam Arboim Yomim Ma'ela. I never drank, I didn't eat. He had to become otherworldly. He had to become in a place, he had to go onto a mountain and become something which nobody was really able to do. But Moshe Rabbeinu, in his Alachnu Ma, in his selflessness, was able to get to a point. It was a miraculous point. I mean, who can go 40 days without eating and drinking? I don't even know what the conditions on the mountain were, but we do know that there was lightning and thunder, and they went 40 days, 40 nights without eating. Gewaldig. But what about us? We couldn't handle that. Comes a Shmuel who was a regular human being. He ate, he drank, and he had nevuah. There's no report that he even fasted, by the way. There's a diyun about this, whether in the Rambam, whether Nevi'im have to fast the day that they get a nevuah. And the Rambam says, very clearly that no, fasting is for the goyim. It's all about. Every part of it was about what Chanukah introduced to this world, was about bringing the Shechita L'tach Toidim, like the Beis HaMikdash. And from there, finally came, that was the Beis HaMikdash of Shmuel, but finally Shmuel was the kingmaker. Right? He made David, Shaul. It was all Shmuel HaNavi. Why? Because this is what you got. Because Shmuel, Chana, as we said, was Midas HaYisayid. So when you're talking about the Sfiris, it's the Sfiris Labala of the Keser, where Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have reached. But this was a different story. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisayid means where, like Yosef was Midas HaYisayid of Abba, and Chana was Midas HaYisayid of Ima, meaning the receiver of Yosef. Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim had to be part of the not just the world, but the depraved world, the ugly world of Mitzrayim. That's where the world where the not just there was too much gashmius, but too little concern for human life and throwing babies into seas and things like that. That was Mitzrayim for Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim. Yosef Hayab in Mitzrayim. So it had to reach that lowest place in order for it to work. And then Chana, so many years later, was taking another paradigm shift in Midas HaYisayid from Abba to Ima. Don't worry about the Kabbalah of it. It's just whatever we understand, we understand. But what's important there is that it comes to Malchus. And Malchus is David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. Because Malchus is Chai V'Kayim. Malchus is touchdown. Not where you're going for a landing, touchdown. That's Malchus. And when Kia Malchus Shochahi, ultimately the Malchus has to be, and this is where the Beis HaMikdash comes in. Because the Malchus, that's why David was yearning to build a Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo built a Beis HaMikdash. And why did he have, to put it all together, the talent to build the Beis HaMikdash? Because he was taking something, because we're imbued with this talent, because just like we're shuckling by davening, because this is what our job is. Obviously, if our job is to do Tikkun Olam, we're going to know how to do Tikkun Olam. We know how to make the most beautiful Tikkun Olam. So it's not just the Karbonos, we're actually fixing the world. And this is important for anybody, or everybody, I should say, to use their talents. If you don't use your talent, whatever your talent is, if you're an artist, if you're a speaker, if you're a singer, if you're a musician, whatever your talent might be, sleep, people are very good at sleeping. It's not my talent, I can say that. But whatever your talent might be, you can take it to be, not just use your talent, actualize. I don't mean that. I mean, you could use your talent to, like David, like Shlomo HaMelech did, of creating Malchus, bringing Yisrael to Malchus. Because, and if you don't use your talent, so then you're stopping that piece from hitting the ground. Yeah, move on. It's a very, very, yeah, you are, we are the Kli. That's Abba Yima. That's a, now, a little, so this is beautiful. Let's go back to the Nefesh HaChaim for a minute. This really bothered me. I'll explain to you why, just because Rabbeinu Yonah explains, Liboy Lamala Einav Lamato. Ubudas, and it's well known, Sher Rabbeinu Yonah Hayah Talmud Kadosh Shel HaRamban Zal. It's well known that the Rabbeinu Yonah was a Talmud of the Ramban. Udvarav hein heima divrei Ramban. So he says, now that we find the Ramban, we can go up a level from the Rabbeinu Yonah to the Ramban, and we can see the shita that we're speaking about in the Ramban himself. The real reason it bothered me, and I just want to mention, Nefesh HaChaim is a Nefesh HaChaim, but the Rabbeinu Yonah was not a Talmud of the Ramban.
It was his uncle.
What? It was an uncle. It was like this. The if anything, the Ramban was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah, actually. But the Ramban's mother. This is what's important to understand. The Ramban's had a mother, like all of us. So the Ramban's mother had a brother, meaning his uncle, who was the father of Rabbeinu Yonah. So actually, Rabbeinu Yonah was an older cousin. He was an older cousin in the Rabbeinu Yonah was a Gadol Hador. I'm mentioning this not because I'm arguing with the chronology. The Ramban in places talks about Meir V'Rebbe, and he refers to the Rabbeinu Yonah. It's the other way around. He's saying Rabbeinu Yonah was a Talmud of the Ramban.
No, I'm saying, but here he said Rabbeinu Yonah said, according to my Rebbe.
Right, it was the other way around. Who was Rabbeinu Yonah's Rebbe?
Yeah.
Rabbi Avram ben Ahor, min Ahor. Rabbi Avram min Ahor. I'll tell you how I got it wrong, because there's two Rabbeinu Yonahs. What happened was, as I mentioned Friday night, that when the Ramban had a son, Shlomo. He had a son, Shlomo. Shlomo ben Ramban. Shlomo ben Moshe. Like, he could have been the Rashbam, but he wasn't the Rashbam. He was Shlomo ben Moshe. So he had a son, and the son had a baby, grandson to the Ramban. So what happened was the son of the Ramban, they were Sfardim, and the son of the Ramban wanted to name the new baby after the Ramban, called Moshe. And the Ramban told him, don't do that because you're Shver, because here's another relationship. Rabbeinu Yonah just died and he doesn't have a name. This is recorded in Rishonim. So, in fact, this is one of the makaris that you name after a person who died. So he told him to name him after the Rabbeinu Yonah and not after. So what does it come out? There is a Rabbeinu Yonah, the shver of the son. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah was a cousin of the Ramban, older cousin. He was also a mechudin of the Ramban. And then Ramban also had a grandson called Yonah, who was a Talmud of the Ramban. And he wrote, he's called Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. He wrote other things, but in other words, the things that we know, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, this is somebody that was written before the Ramban.
Shari Tshuva was his
grandfather. Was
his old cousin.
The old cousin was the Shari Tshuva, of which we have a little piece of it. His Rebbe, as I just said, was Rav Rami Nahar. I just want to tell you something, which I think that's just a piece of history, but I think actually relates to what we're saying here somehow. That Avraham Nahar, we know the Rambam, Avraham Nahar, was a city called Ahar. That was what it was called. Har Ha-Har. It was a city. But, Yeah. Very good. I didn't want to show off. What? No, I'll tell you things like this. The Rambam says, I might have mentioned this before, the Rambam says, gives us a clear list of who's considered a koifer and who's considered a min, who's an apokoros, and he has this whole list. So he says that if you hold that God has a body, Mishoimer she ish leguf, so hareza min. So the Rambam, why not? I mean, why not? Because it's philosophically untenable to think that God has a body, because that would limit him. The Rambam was a big thinker. It's impossible to say God had a body. Comes the Ravid, Hasagas HaRavid ala Rambam, and the Ravid says, what's he calling a person who holds that Hashem is a body of min? Lama kari lezem min. Many people that were greater than the Rambam held that Hashem had a body. Yad Hashem. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem's neck. Etzbel Elokim. So you, Rambam, you want to say the whole thing is Moshul, Melitza, like, okay, you say what you want, but don't say that you're an apokoros if you hold that way, because many great people held that who are we to change the Torah? We don't understand it, Mr. Akasha. Like, okay, we don't understand it, but it doesn't mean that it isn't, that you have to go change the whole religion because and call guy a min. Because so the Kesef Mishnah, greater people than the Rambam believe that God had a body. Who says it? So the first answer to that question is nobody talked about it. It was a Davar Pashut. It says Yad Hashem was Yad Hashem. Until the Rambam introduced this subject, it was a non-issue. Why was it a non-issue? I don't know. But just nobody stopped to say, you know, what does it mean, Yad Hashem? Like, it just wasn't an issue. Why did it become an issue in the 12th century? Because the Christians argued that God walked on earth. Now, I want you to understand the connection to what we're learning here. Just let's be philosophical detectives for a moment over here. So the Kesef Mishnah and others, they say, like, who is the Ravid talking about when he says greater men than the Rambam held that there's corporeality to God? Avram Minahor, who was the Rebbe of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Get it? So this Rebbe Avram Minahor is the only one who writes Mefurish, he writes, that is brought, that you can't see. He argues with the Rambam, but he was before the Rambam. In other words, he was a whole generation before the Rambam, or older than the Rambam. Let's put the Rambam was a generation more than the Ramban, and the Rambam was a generation after the Rambam. So we're talking about three different generations here. The Christianity posed the challenge at the time that it's okay at least once in life, once in the history of the world, God can manifest himself as a man. Okay, we do not believe that, but that was their argument. The Rambam was understandably very concerned about this, and he wrote the Igaris Teiman. He wrote so many igrois that this is a very dangerous thing to start getting into the level of tzimtzum, which the Mekubalim got into, to say that Hashem can manifest himself with a goof. So he says that's a min. A min, by the way, in the Lashon HaRambam means a Christian. That's what it means. A min is a Christian. So Lashon the Gemara also, but Lashon the Rambam, a min is a Christian, as opposed to a koifer, an apokaris is a Greek thing. You know, like everything is, you got to be very, you got to know your apokaris very, very well. Huh? Tell me the Yeshua Nasr. Tell me the Yeshua Nasr. Were minim. They were minim. So the plot thickens when you begin to understand that the big lochem of the Rambam, you know, the Rambam was put in Cherem, and they burnt his Svarim, was the Rabbeinu Yonah. Because the Rabbeinu Yonah was a Talmud of Rabbi Avram Minahor. And his Kabbalah was that the Rambam is calling people Minim when they're not Minim, but they're Chashav Yidin. In fact, my Rabbi, Rabbi Avram Minahor, what are you doing? Lama Karu Lazamin. Why are you calling him Minim? And the Ravid doesn't directly agree with it, but he just says he can't call it a min. In other words, the Ravid himself, if you analyze it, is staying parved. Now, I'm sure the big Talmidei Chacham have analyzed this completely. I'm just telling you, Aniyah Cotton, that it's a very interesting thing. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah made a mochama against the Rambam. The circle is so interesting because this history is going to, and it was all about what we would call today Tzimtzum Gamor. That what can you say that Hashem comes into this world, like we're saying, and in a place of Tzimtzum Gamor, where it's actually, it becomes very, very close to pantheism, or to Christianity, to start saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can manifest himself here in this world. Just understand the way the religions work. Jews don't believe that. It's the Rambam won this argument, by the way. Like, we don't believe it. We do from the time we're children. The Christians believe it happened once. The Hindus believe it happens millions of times a day. That God manifests itself. So Lahavdol of Havdolos. That's the whole India is there's millions of deities, because what happens is that what they hold is, they don't even care about God. What they say is that what's important is how we manifest. It's like the ultimate in what can, an ultimate avodah zarah, if you will, which can come from a very clean and beautiful entire machshava of Hashem manifesting Himself in this world when we're shuckling during davening. It's an interesting. Now the just to finish the story, and then we'll go further and why this is so important to understand, and why, because the Nefesh HaChaim was in some level, on a very light level, fighting the fight of the Vilna Gaon against the Baal HaTanya. Are you following me? Yeah. So you understand that the Gaon and the Baal HaTanya were arguing about the same thing as Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. Laniyas Daiti. And the Gaon felt equally because of Shabtai Tzvi that it's very, very dangerous, because Shabtai Tzvi also claimed that he was a deity. So the Vilna Gaon was very, very worried about the Baal HaTanya and Tzimtzum Gamor and the things that is. Of course, the Baal HaTanya never said he was a deity, but nobody ever worshipped the Baal HaTanya. The Vilna Gaon and his Gaonis said, yeah, but who knows what's going to happen in 7 generations or 8 generations, you know. Mm-hmm. So a very interesting gra. It's different. He actually made a distinction between the Baal HaTanya and the other rebbes, other talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov.
What was the issue of the Baal HaTanya?
Tzimtzum Gamor. So as the Masorah has it, when the Christians burnt the Rambam and the Shas in the public square, once in Paris and once in Venice, and you know, maybe you've been there, Rachmana Litzlan, and it was exactly on the date that the Rabbeinu Yonah ordered a burning of the Rambam, and then they burnt the Shas. We said in Kinois, right? Shali, we say it in Kinois, Arba Meyois Kronois Shel Svarim, and that was a big deal. They didn't have a printing press. These were handwritten Gemaras. So when those were burnt, Rabbeinu Yonah realized, this is not right what I'm doing. I should not be making this fight against the Rambam. He's the Nesher HaGadol, and he called him the Nesher HaGadol. And in the Tshuva, he wrote Alpi Masorah, that's when he wrote the Shari Tshuva. He apparently took upon himself three things. One is that he's going to write the Shari Tshuva, and the other thing, he felt he had to do Tshuva, so he's going to write Shari Tshuva, of which we have only a small part of, by the way. We don't have the whole Shari Tshuva. He's going to write the Shari Tshuva, and whenever he speaks, he's going to mention the Rambam. He's going to quote the Rambam every time he gives a shir. And he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael and ask Mechila for the Rambam's kever in Tveria. That's what he said. So he wrote the Shari Tshuva. Most of it got lost. We have it, though. I mean, he was a Gadol HaDor. He mentioned the Rambam, I guess. He never made it to Eretz Yisrael. He was on the way to Eretz Yisrael. He was offered a position as a Rosh Yeshiva, and he stayed in Spain, I think, as a Rosh Yeshiva. And by the way, Lo Yada Ish Es Kuros Yad Hayom Hazeh. I don't know, but he knows where he's buried exactly. People have looked for it, those people that are interested in those things. And it's not even clear where the Ramban is buried, by the way. The Ramban is buried outside of Akko. In the lower, between Haifa and Akko, that's where the Ramban is buried. So there's places that they say, but I don't know, because the Ramban says there's a big skula to daven at his kever. So, to put the whole thing together, the Ramban, interestingly, was called to debate Christianity. And the reason that the Ramban was called is not because, whoa, he's a big gadol, but of course he was a gadol ador, but the reason why he was called to debate Christianity in front of the bishops is because it was difficult. The Ramban was in a difficult situation because he agreed with much of Rabbeinu Yonah keneged the Rambam. And once you start saying there's tzimtzum, so it perked up the ears of the Christians. So what you're inconsistent. The fact is he won that debate, but at the same time, he famously won the debate. You could watch the debate, actually. You could watch the debate on TV. If you go to the Diaspora Museum in Tel Aviv, they actually have the Ramban debating the, not him personally, I mean, but the dialogue. Yeah, we have the dialogue. Vikucha Gadol. It was a printed dialogue. But, you know, like in these circles, when you win the argument, you lose the argument. It's like, you know, it's like your wife. So he was exiled to leave Spain, and came to Eretz Yisrael. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, there was not much going on in Eretz Yisrael. Went to Yerushalayim. You know, the Ramban famously reported, can't find a minion of Jews to daven together in Yerushalayim at that particular time. And then he went out, B'chol Titzvei Aretz, and finally the Yiddishkeit built up here in his time, and he started a Beis Medrash in Akko, and there he died in Akko. But I'm just saying the history. I mean, history is, you hear it this way, you hear it that way, but this is the story that I know of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Yoina the first, the Rabbeinu Yoina the second, Rabbi Avram Minahar. These are all important. There's an important cast of characters over here. The Avram Minahar, and all the way to the Gra and the Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Ime, the Baal HaTanya, and how it's all really revolving around this one issue. So here, Nefesh HaChaim, so this about, like when I got to this, Mudash Rabbeinu Yoina HaYitalmud Kaddish Shel HaRamban. Whoa, this is completely, you have to be careful with, not that, I mean, Afrani Tachas Raglo, but you do have to be careful with the history of this, because the Shitas don't have to all line up very, very clearly. But this whole idea, Tachlis, of Davin, this you find in Chassidus Sfarim, the whole idea of Davening Kol Atzmaisei Tamarna, that I'm davening, and on the one hand, I'm mispashit minaguf. I'm sorry to keep you extra, but I just want to say this last line. On the one hand, you're mispashit minaguf. On another hand, you learn from Chana that your lips have to be moving. And we're shuckling when we're davening. And you're putting your hands this way, and you're putting your hands that way, and you're doing all kinds of things. The tznuos haguf, up and down, and even Rabbi Akiva. We're not talking about anybody less than Rabbi Akiva was involved with the tznuos haguf. So it becomes a bit complex as to who are we. The answer is malei kol, like the Ora Meir says, malei kol aretz kivoydei. That's what all the Hasidim say. Malei kol aretz kivoydei. Kivoydei. What did you say that the Beis Hamikdash was before? Kivoyd Hashem. Malei kol aretz kivoydei. The Shechina is kivoydei. Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they're not saying we're deities. We're not saying that Hashem has walked into our bodies and here we are God. What we're saying is that we are malachim of Hashem. No malach, not Gavriel, not Raphael, and not Yitzchak says that they're God. But we're Mesharsei Elyon. We're Mesharsei Hashem. And Mesharsei Hashem means we're bringing the Shechina here. And this is where the whole confusion and religions have started over this nuance, this subtlety. So came for Nefesh HaChaim. I gave you a history lesson, but important hagdom. That's right. Do you know that the only reason the Rambam was finally exonerated when the Ramban wrote a letter, and you see this in the Igeres HaRamban. Igeres HaRamban, he wrote to the people, he said, stop knocking the Rambam. What are you knocking it for? He was a big guy, the Rambam. Like, you know, it's so interesting because how this repeats itself in history over and over. But the Ramban, who was such an accepted gadol in his time, he's the one who may have accepted even the Shita of Rabbeinu Yoina. And because that's why I said Rabbeinu Yoina was actually a Talmud of the Ramban was actually a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina, if anything. But he said that the Rambam is okay. He's the one. The Ramban is the one that gave the Hechsher to the Rambam, so that the Rambam now is the Rambam. The Rambam is unclear. Unclear. It's in a different place completely. There's a real Ashkenazi, the writer.